Well, ever since the collapse of the Soviet Union, Iranian-Russian relations have been expanding. But in recent years, the expansion has been much more swift. And especially after the war in Ukraine, the relationship has really become strategic. And even though the North-South trade corridor that is now being developed between Iran and Russia was something that was agreed upon decades ago, the two sides really neglected it until the war in Ukraine. And when the two sides saw how huge the potential was. So now they are speeding up this the pace of developing the corridor, which goes both through the Caspian Sea, but also to the east and to the west of the Caspian Sea, and connects Russia to the Persian Gulf and the Indian Ocean, and it connects Iran to the whole of Russia as well as Eastern Europe. So this is just one aspect of the relationship that's expanding, and also trade in general. The two sides are finding partners in one another's country. Traditionally, the trade between the two countries has always been limited, but that's changing. And in the field of oil and gas, the Russians are now operating more significantly with Iran, and they are also investing in Iran. And Iran is purchasing grain from Russia increasingly. So you see a huge shift. And also there's a military aspect to all of this. You see the Iranians exporting military goods to the Russians, and the Russians also cooperating with the Iranians. So the relationship, as the two presidents pointed out, is expanding in all areas, in all fields. Today, a significant number of young Iranians go to Russia to study. This is not something that would happen a decade or two ago. And the same is true with China, by the way. I was in Tianjin just last week at the invitation of Chinese television, and I was on a panel discussion, and the audience were students. And three of those students were from Iran, from the university in Tianjin. It just shows how things are changing. 10, 15 years ago, there were just a handful of students or a very small number of Iranian students in China or Russia. But that is all changing. So we are in a changing world, and at a time when the West is behaving increasingly irrational and violently and supporting a genocide, we see a greater convergence among Shanghai Cooperation Organization members and Iran and Russia in particular.
All right, talking about Western pressure, both Russia and Iran are facing that pressure there. But how does trade between them help overcome such kind of pressures?
The trade that exists, but also the transition routes that are being developed, will make the two countries less dependent on the West. And that makes things much more difficult for the Europeans and the Americans. The Europeans and the Americans have burned their bridges with Iran, with Russia, with China, now even with India and Brazil, for whatever reason. And what they've done is they've created a catalyst for these countries to work more closely with one another. And so once the North-South transport corridor between Iran and Russia develops, then many of the goods that Russia traditionally obtained through Europe will no longer even go through there. They'll go from the Indian Ocean to the Persian Gulf, Iranian ports, and straight to Russia. And Russian exports would go straight through Iran. So that's a huge loss for NATO countries, Western countries. And they've brought this upon themselves. As I said, this agreement to create this North-South transport corridor, just as an example of the relationship, the growing relationship between Iran and Russia, this North-South transport corridor was something that was agreed upon decades ago, but they never really pushed this. But now, because of the sanctions, because of the behavior of the West, the two countries have decided to move forward. And while they've been doing this, they've discovered that many of the needs that Iran has, their needs can be met through Russia, and many of Russia's needs can be met through Iran. But since before the two countries didn't have a very close relationship, the potential for business and trade and investment was not really explored. Things are changing very rapidly, and I'm very optimistic about the future. And I think that in general, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization meeting this time around is more important than previous meetings. And the real reason, more than anything else, is because of the behavior of the United States and the Europeans.
Even this optimism is shared far more, even beyond Russia and Iran. Now, Iran's nuclear program was one of the points of the discussion. Is there a common stance between the nations on this issue?
Yes. Well, first of all, we saw in the declaration that all the countries, they condemned the Israeli regime's aggression against Iran. And they condemned the United States for its aggression against Iran and its nuclear and its peaceful nuclear program. That was big. That's important. This is the global majority, and this is not BRICS. This is the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. But still, it's the global majority. They condemned it. That is big. But also, the Russians and the Chinese as well, among others, they support Iran's position against the posturing of the Europeans. The Europeans are using the so-called snapback mechanism, and the Russians and the Chinese have said it's not legitimate, and so have the Iranians. So again, this shows how the relationship between these countries are evolving. And as they evolve, I think it's going to be just make things more difficult for the West. And I think probably, none of us can tell the future or predict the future, but I think that the Shanghai Cooperation Organization meeting at Tianjin this year is a turning point of sorts. It comes at a time when the United States is behaving increasingly in an irrational manner. It's supporting genocide. It is carrying out threats against, bombs. Iran is threatening to attack Venezuela. It's out of control. And the Europeans, of course, they have burnt their bridges with everyone. And we saw how European leaders went to Washington and sat in front of the president like a bunch of school children. This has created a new incentive for Asian countries to come together. And compare the seating when the Europeans went to see Trump and then the way in which these Shanghai Cooperation Organization leaders sat around together as equals around the table. The difference is enormous.
The difference was really clear there. Now, the SCO summit comes amid U.S. pressure on several of its members in one way or another with sanctions or tariffs, while Iran even recently faced bombings. Now, how does this impact relations between the SCO members in general?
It is an enormous incentive for them to move closer to each other. When the United States behaves in an irrational manner towards India, then the Indians better understand the Iranian position. When the United States and the Europeans impose sanctions on Russia, they better understand what the Iranians have been tolerating for decades. When they behave as they do with the Chinese, the same is true. And so these countries and other countries, the more they see this sort of behavior from the United States, the more they recognize the need for circumventing Western financial institutions, circumventing the U.S. dollar, and also protecting themselves from these extremist groups that the West supports. The West brought ISIS and Al-Qaeda to power in Syria. They use them also in Afghanistan. And tomorrow, in order to disrupt the rise of Asia, they could use these same terrorist forces, and they definitely have plans to do so, in Central Asia and elsewhere. So all of this creates an incentive for them to circumvent Western financial institutions, for these countries to work more closely with one another with regards to intelligence and defense. And in addition to that, because Asia is rising and because the West is lagging behind due to their never-ending wars, the incentive for young people to look to Asia, to travel to Asia, to study in Asia, is increasing. So now, as I said earlier, young Iranians, for example, many of them are now going to Russia, they're going to China, they're going to India and other countries in Asia and in the global South, and the numbers that are going to the West are decreasing. And I think that is going to have huge implications for the future. As an academic, almost all of my colleagues either studied in Iran or they studied in the West. And those who studied in Iran have spent time in the West. I think in the coming years, you're going to see an increasing number of academics and experts in Iran who studied in Iran or they studied in non-Western countries. And those who study in Iran will spend time in these non-Western countries, in SCO countries, in BRICS countries. And that, I think, will cement these new relationships. So the world, I think, has changed, and this change is irreversible. The West has they've destroyed their potential to continue leading the world and imposing their hegemony through their irrational and really barbaric actions, like as we've seen in Gaza. And the rest of the world, they are looking in horror, and they've decided to protect themselves. And integration and convergence and working together, as in the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, is a part of that.